We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
University of Miami football on Friday, and then Dolphins football on Sunday. They're away to the New England Patriots. And according to the Las Vegas bookmakers, the Dolphins are a 16.5-point underdog for the game in New England.
Oh, that number's too big. Omar's going to tell us that number's too big.
Omar Kelly on the Toyota South Florida hotline. Is that number too big?
That number is offensive. It's just a slap in the face. It's shameful. I understand, you know, I'm sure Jay Cutler being concussed has a lot to do with it. I'm sure playing in Foxborough has a lot to do with it. But I believe, I've heard, this is the biggest line of the NFL season. I'm like, are the Dolphins the worst team in the NFL season? Is that what you're saying?
Well, if I imagine if the Browns were at the Patriots, they might be like 20-point underdogs. But, yeah, I would say in terms of the biggest disparity in a matchup this season, it might have to be this one.
Yeah, it's clearly a problem that the Dolphins, I mean, if you don't get offended by this, and I know there isn't much that you know, that should want to make you compete better in Foxborough, but you should be embarrassed by this, because basically Vegas is saying you suck just to encourage people to bet on this game.
By the way, Omar Kelly is joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He's on Twitter at Omar Kelly. You can check out his work at sunsentinel.com.
Hey, but is it a bad line, if you see what I'm saying, or is it just a disrespectful line? Because you can be disrespected and it still be a good line.
I would definitely put money on the Dolphins. I don't think they're 16-point bad to the Patriots. I mean, especially if Matt Moore starts. I don't think Matt Moore is a world beater, but I know Matt Moore can put up points. But don't let that Baltimore game fool you. Look at what he's done throughout his career since 2011. Matt can put up points now. The Patriots, if you really, really look at their defense, they're, I believe, like the 31st defense in the NFL. Their offense is hard to score on, but their defense is just getting gashed all season. I know they've fixed some issues. They've gotten it addressed. And certainly the Dolphins, they got nothing to be proud of offensively. But, you know, let's not pretend like these are this is like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of the Warren Sapp era. They're just mediocre defensively.
So when you look at the quarterbacking situation, Matt Moore comes in relief and again has a great game.
Patriots are 32nd in the NFL in terms of defense. So they're last.
I will say, of late, they haven't been as bad as they were as the start of the season.
Yeah, they're still last.
Yeah, right. It was long enough. The struggles were for them to still be that far down. But so you mentioned if it's Matt Moore, so obviously you would rate him higher than Jay Cutler at the moment. Why do you toss out the result against Baltimore as Matt Moore can't be your starter, but he can be a great backup?
I toss out the result against Baltimore for two reasons. One, Baltimore is just a physically difficult matchup for the Miami Dolphins and always have been, with the exception of the Tony Sperano era. Baltimore is going to punch you in the mouth, and when you look up, they're going to punch you in the mouth again, and that just style does not suit well for the Dolphins team. They're just not built that way. They're not built to take on a bully. Like, you could say a lot of things about the Patriots, but they're efficient. They're not a bully. The Ravens are going to, if it's third and 14, third and 3, it doesn't matter. They're blitzing you. You know, that's just their style. And just have never handled that well. Also, Matt Moore only had one day to practice that week, a Thursday night game. It's a very difficult game to prepare for. There's literally one legitimate day of practice. So I'm working in a new starting quarterback, and he has one day of practice. Like, exactly how efficient are you going to be? So that's why I throw out the Baltimore game. And I get it. Baltimore's not playing that great. Obviously, they're still in the playoff hunt. The Dolphins aren't. But, you know, it is what it is. You could say a lot of things about Matt Moore. And as a Dolphin fan, if you think that Matt Moore is a backup in the NFL, that's great. That's valid. If you think that Matt Moore can't play quarterback and can't put up points and can't make your big play game come alive, you clearly haven't been paying attention since 2011. Because from his time as a starter for the Miami Dolphins, he's either produced, with the exception of Baltimore, of course, he's either produced close losses or a blowout victory. But and this year he started to produce some come-from-behind victories. Now, he's not perfect. He's Matt Moore. You're going to get some interceptions. You're going to get some turnovers. But he's going to produce points. It's going to be fun to watch, at least.
Hey, oh, I'm not built like this, but it popped up in my mind, honestly, after I saw Jay Cutler's wife with Cavallari. I don't know. She's a social media lady. Yeah. I don't know. But I saw her Instagram something that said, "I'm tired of this football crap," and she cussed in it. But why just I want you to tell me, why wouldn't Jay Cutler act like he has a headache for the next month and a half and just ride off into the sunset? Why would he continue to play quarterback for the Miami Dolphins?
You know, I heard you say that yesterday, and I thought about it. And knowing that it's coming from you, I was like, that's interesting, because Chan is not built like that.
Nah.
So why would you assume that Jay Cutler's built like that?
Oh, I've bought into – honestly, I have to be honest. I've bought into what he showed us through his career, how he has the smoking Jay face, you know, and that – what was that?
Don't
care. Against New
Orleans. Jay Cutler don't care.
Yeah, against New Orleans Saints when he hurt his knee. And I know the story goes deeper where he wanted to play, whatever. But honestly, I've seen him. It doesn't seem like he's really gung-ho. He would come back out of retirement to, I guess, change his narrative. But there's nothing he can do this year to change his narrative.
He didn't come back to change his narrative. He doesn't care.
He chased the money.
He chased the money. This is the one thing. Like, there are a lot of things said about Jay Cutler that I was like, I'm not sure if that's true, if that's a myth, or I'm not sure if that's valid, or, you know, sadly enough, just about, you know how people give you their best impressions early?
Yeah.
And, you know, great, you know, honeymoon period. Just about everything people said about Jay Cutler, critical of him, it's valid. It's valid. Now, is he a quitter? I don't think so. I don't think he did that in Chicago, and I'm pretty sure, you know, I don't know. I agree with you. You know, here's my thing. Do I want to go up there in Foxborough and get slaughtered by New England? Nope.
Yeah.
But maybe I tell him I got a little I got a little headache. I'm not feeling good that week, but I certainly want to be back the next. I certainly want to play against Denver. There's a lot of things said about him, and a lot of things are valid. Quitter, I'm not sure, is one of those things that are valid.
We're joined by Omar Kelly of the South Florida Sun Sentinel. When we were talking on Sunday ahead of the Bucs game, you said regardless of the result, you were going to ask Adam Gase what he believes his team's offensive identity is. Did you get a chance to ask it, and what was his response?
Yeah, I did. I asked it yesterday, and I wasn't really pleased with the response, which is basically, you know, we want to be a respectable run game, but our strength is our wide receiver, so we want to be a passing offense, which is, I know that's what he's always wanted. He's always wanted to be the Denver Broncos. Problem is, you don't have Peyton Manning. You don't have Peyton Manning. And you can sit here either with Jay Cutler or Ryan Tannehill and pass the ball 35 times, but it's not going to be very efficient, and you don't have the offensive line to protect you. And he said it would look better if they were more successful on just the average run plays and throw it, you know, and that way you get into third and manageables, and then you could throw the ball to backs and think and dunk your way down the field. And I thought, you know, I understand what you want to be, but you clearly are delusional when you're looking at your roster and your personnel. And it is on head coach to evolve each season based on what their strengths and weaknesses are. And he's done a good job of that, but, you know, it's not good enough. And which means and hints to me that the roster isn't good enough. So, you know, what do you keep doing if your roster isn't good enough?
And who's responsible for that? Who's the GM. I know who on. If I go to Wikipedia, I know who they're going to have as GM. I know Chris Greer's name is going to be up there, Mike Tannenbaum. But who is really responsible? Who has to answer for Jay Cutler's $10 million? Who has to answer for Ray Malaluga getting cut? Who has to answer for Lawrence Timmons going AWOL? Who is that guy getting yelled at?
Adam Gase. Adam Gase is the man ultimately responsible and will be held accountable for all of these things. An undisciplined penalty-prone team. Adam Gase is responsible for that. You can't be the second most penalized team in the NFL, and then look as a coach be like, "Not me, it ain't on me." Nah, bro, it's on you. In the Sun Sentinel, I'm writing a column. Basically, the gist of it is, I'm giving you 10 reasons why the Dolphins suck. Just sort of explaining to you what these issues are. That this team is having that makes them fall short of what everybody's expectations are. And not stuff that can be debated, just stuff that's quantifiably proven by the numbers. And three of them are really Adam Gase and the coaching staff's responsibility. Like, it's on them. The fact that you are a slow-starting team, you get 5 points in the first half of the game, that's on you, man. Come up with a better game plan. Call for the ball instead of deferring. Be more efficient. The fact that they're poor in the red zone. Okay, that's on Matt Burke. You know, you're the second worst team in the NFL in terms of defense red zone. Why aren't you calling better plays? Why aren't you choosing better personnel? Maybe you have to go to an overloaded defensive line. You got to figure something out. That's the coach's job. Players just go out there and play, and yeah, if their execution isn't right, they're not going to play very, very good. But a lot of times, execution isn't a problem. It's just the before you snapped, you took a L.
And one of the players who seems to be in the least advantageous positions often is Kiko Alonso. Pro Football Focus pointed out that he was targeted 11 times on Sunday, 10 receptions to 7 players for 138 yards for the season. He's been targeted second most in the league amongst 4-3 outside linebackers. Has he always been this way in coverage and we just didn't notice it? Or why do we think of him as the bedrock of the linebacking corps coming into the season?
No. One, I wouldn't even take anything you just said from Pro Football Focus and taking it view it as accuracy. And here's the reason why. On a lot of those zone coverages, how does Pro Football Focus know who's responsible for who?
They don't.
Or who has what zone? Yeah,
right.
A lot of times Kiko is just like there was one play, O.J. Howard. He wasn't Kiko's man. Kiko saw the play coming. It was like, oh crap, and ran to it and made the tackle way downfield. But I guess because he made the tackle, Pro Football Focus gives him those grades. I stopped dealing, and not to turn this into a Pro Football Focus bash session. I remember it was 2012, and Richie Incognito was graded like the 98th worst offensive guard in the NFL by Pro Football Focus, but yet was voted by his peers as a Pro Bowler. And in the film, I'm looking at it, I'm like, Richie's one hell of a guard. Like, what the hell are they talking about? And I often asked Richie, what's going on? And Richie was just like, not that he's the most credible individual in the world, but he was just like, man, those grades are crap. And he explained to me why those grades are crap. And then I went to an executive who also said those grades are crap. And the perfect example he gave me is, he said, use Vince Wilfork as a perfect example. If Mike Pouncey blocks Vince Wilfork one-on-one, is that a victory or a loss?
It's a Super Bowl win.
That's a Super Bowl win. But Pro Football Focus doesn't give Mike Pouncey a positive grade for blocking Vince Wilfork one-on-one. It's not quantifiable. Like, anybody who's playing in Ndamukong Suh solo, if he just gets a stalemate, that's a victory. Yeah. Pro Football Focus doesn't grade it like that. And it's a lot of things that are valid about Pro Football Focus, but the grades, they aren't. I remember before we even had coaches film available, Pro Football Focus used to have the grades up about the secondary. And the secondary, basically the coaches film, all 22, doesn't come out until Tuesday. Doesn't come out until today, and they used to have the grades up. So how are you judging safeties in the NFL if you don't have all 22 film? Like, what are you seeing? How you can't even watch safeties in a TV copy. So, you know, put it now. Getting back to Kiko Alonso, yes, is he being targeted and attacked? Absolutely. Will the Patriots, with all three of their starting tight ends, target and attack him? If you don't know Bill Belichick by now, this you are a moron, because this is what I love about playing the Patriots and why I'm disappointed that the Dolphins play them so late in the season. If you don't know your weaknesses, Bill Belichick's going to show you. Yep. And it is beautiful to watch Bill Belichick dissect and attack a team's weakness and take away his strength, the team's strength. You might not even know it's team's strength, but when Bill Belichick decides to take it away, all of a sudden you need to be like, wait a minute, that's our strength? Oh, damn, I didn't even know that. I remember the time that they double teamed Charles Clay to take him away from Ryan Tannehill, and I was like, huh? Like, really? Words? And it just worked. Then all of a sudden, you see everybody else do the same thing. It, you know, Bill Belichick will dissect your team, figure out exactly how they need to beat you, whether it's getting Philip Wheeler isolated out on the linebacker. Like, expect the Dolphins to never be a nickel package tomorrow, on Sunday, because making them stay in base, keeping Chase Allen on the field or whoever else is in that base package, and making him a target, that's the route to success. I remember that game Michael Thomas won the Defensive Player of the Week. Yeah, they kept picking on him because he just got there 2 days ago. Obviously, the Dolphins got lucky on that play. But Bill Belichick is a mastermind of targeting and attacking your weakness, so expect Kiko Alonso to be heavily targeted and attacked.
Yeah, oh, I remember they used to put like three or four guys on me. I ain't know what was going on. I was like, damn, coach, I know I'm good. No, man, two quick ones with Adam Gay. Oh, Adam Gay, though.
That final play when you got that interception, they was going after you when that game was on the line, though.
And that's what happens when you pick on me. I hurt your feelings. No, but, oh, quickly with Adam Gay, man. Well, Adam Gay, would he ever give up play calling duties?
Never. He's even said it to us. Never.
He's going
to
call plays as long as he's a head coach anywhere.
Till he dies.
And
you can forget that.
How long is his leash? I'm not saying he's on the hot seat. I really don't believe he is, but how long is his leash?
He'll be here for at least the next two seasons. Don't matter what the record is. So you better suck it up and put your big boy pants on. If you don't like Adam Gase, he's shooting you at the bird with double middle fingers.
So even if it goes like 2-14 next year, he'll be the coach?
He will be the coach.
Wow.
You better believe it. Think about how hard it's been for Joe Philbin. Think about how hard it's been for Steve Ross to find a good coach. Mm-hmm. Think about it. And Adam Gase is a good coach. Steve Ross worked very hard trying to figure that out way before he was even interviewed. Steve Ross had his eyes and sights set on Adam Gase. Got the guy that he wanted, and to be honest, if you ever see them together, Steve Ross is Adam Gase's hype man. He's like, you know, Adam Gase is like Biggie, and Steve Ross is Puffy. He just see that, yeah, like yeah. I see it all the time at the NFL owners meetings. He's not going anywhere.
Do you understand fans now starting to turn on him a little bit? Gase?
Fans are fickle, critical, fanatics who don't know what the hell they're talking about and are emotionally driven. That if you listen to what they want, you'll be fired. You'll be changing quarterbacks every 2 weeks and firing a coach every year. So the Dolphins, yes, Steve Ross has a bad habit of listening to fans, but he's been to the wilderness before. This is not the wilderness.
Omar
and
Kelly.
He definitely doesn't want to go back.
Omar Kelly, the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Appreciate the time.
All right, guys.
All right, that is Omar Kelly on Twitter, @OmarKelly, and also on sunsentinel.com.
This podcast is presented by David Lowe and Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.